Hi, everyone. Something awesome this way comes. Something awesome this way comes. Do you feel it?
I can feel it.
Do you feel it?
Amen.
When brothers and sisters, when Jesus sent out his apostles, he sent them out as missionary apostles, missionary disciples. Amen?
Amen.
And when he sent them out so that they would go out to people and he would form believers, right? No. He sent them out to form disciples. Not just believers.
Both and.
But the disciple is what? That's specifically the words of Jesus, right? Go and make disciples. Disciples don't just fall out of trees, right? Disciples, we don't just slide our way slowly into discipleship. We have to learn. That's what it means. Amen?
Amen.
Sit at the feet of the master. Learn his ways. Then, when we've learned those ways, at least to some level, then he sends us out. We grow in that discipleship. He sends us out on a mission. Amen? Our recent popes have talked a lot about what happens when there's a whole group, a whole movement of Christianity where there are missionary disciples that are on fire. A couple of the lines from recent popes, there's an apostolic zeal. I love that. Right? We might know that St. Francis has talked about the joy of the gospel. It just permeates from someone who not only believes, but lives and takes it out to the rest of the world. Scott Hahn calls this, when people live this way, there's a newness and a freshness reminiscent of the very first Christians. I love that. Our friend Matthew Kelly, who wrote the book, calls people like this dynamic. And he says in the book that once they're dynamic, what happens is they get among others and they're contagious. I hope that doesn't mean like malaria or anything. But they're contagious, right? Other people. I'm glad somebody liked it. They're contagious. Now I lost my train of thought, Delaney. Oh, yes. And then Sherry Waddell, our friend Sherry Waddell, she talks about intentional discipleship. That's her term, intentional disciples. Or we could say alive, genuine, radical, authentic. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I just had to see that once. Pope Paul VI, who is venerable at the moment, is that right? He's on his way, is that right? He's venerable Pope. Paul VI, he said, this isn't an exact quote, it's a little shortened, but evangelizing is the church's deepest identity. I want you to say that with me. Evangelizing is the church's deepest identity. And then in red, because it's red, we have to say it really loudly, right? So, she exists in order to evangelize. This is the reason the church is here. Okay, so what does it mean to evangelize? Make sure we're on the same page.
Make disciples.
Make disciples. Okay. In layman's terms, I don't know what all that means. That's church talk. So what does it mean to evangelize?
Spread
the good words. Talk about Christ. Is that what you said? Talk about Christ. Let people see your joy. What else?
Let people see your light.
Let people see your light. Notice in the middle of that word evangelize, where is it? There it is. The word angel is in the middle of there, right? An angel, not that angel, but an angel is a messenger, and that's what it means to be the carrier of the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Back in the Roman world and in the Greek world, centuries ago, the evangelizer was the one that would run forward after battle and give the good news to the king or to the military leader or whoever it was, give the good news that they had won a victory. They brought good news, a message of good news. What's that, Judy?
You gotta be a good runner.
Yeah, you gotta be a good runner. But not only that, what they did was they brought good news of a battle that was already won. That's what it means to evangelize, right? The battle has already been won. We're called to bring that good news out to the world. And it's our deepest identity as Catholics, as Christians. This is one of my favorite quotes about evangelization from one of my favorite Catholics, St. Pope John Paul II, John Paul the Great. Let's read this together. And in the red spot, you have to be louder. Can I promise that? All right. I sense that the moment has come to commit all the Church's energies to a new evangelization. No believer in Christ, no institution of the Church can avoid this supreme duty. All the Church's energies should be committed to this. Time, talent, treasure, prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Our manpower, our women power, our prayer power, everything needs to be committed to this new evangelization. Now, I know there are a lot of us. How come Bishop Earl's picture vanished? Oh, no. There was a picture of Bishop Earl in there. I know that a lot of us, he's the invisible man.
He's busy evangelizing.
That's right, he's busy evangelizing.
Take it off.
So I know a lot of us have already been on that road. A lot of us have been talking about evangelization. A lot of us have been in process of discipleship. But one of the things that really kind of made this cohesive in our diocese, and believe me, the dioceses around the nation have looked at what Bishop Earl has done. We hear that all the time when we go to national conferences and things. Bishop Earl wrote a really great letter back in 2012. Did anyone read that? Did you read the apostolic letter? I did too. It's great. You weren't even from our diocese at the time. It is a fantastic letter. But in that, he kind of boiled it down to three marching orders he really wanted us all to do. Encounter opportunities, where we encounter Jesus Christ. A lifetime discipleship plan, where we learn how to be disciples. And then have our parishes be more inviting, right? So what we've done here locally, oh look, it's Father Chaz. His picture showed up. So what have we been doing in the local parish? We've been doing encounter opportunities, trying to make the parish more inviting and really trying to develop a lifetime discipleship plan for the different folks. With encounter opportunities, again, those are the things where we're meeting Jesus, we're introducing him, we're evangelizing, we're taking the message that the good news, that good battle has been won. Amen? And then our parish, there's been a huge emphasis. I don't know if all of you know, I know that those on the worship commission and those involved with liturgy know, there's been a ton of work going into the Sunday experience to make that Sunday experience really special. Now, we hear this a lot, when those of us that work with RCIA and new people coming into the church, I can't tell you how many times people say, I came to this church and it felt like home. I mean, over and over and over, we're hearing it all the time. And well, I won't say anything more. But it's spectacular to hear that kind of thing. So it is reaching out to hearts. We've been, this last year too, our main focus has been on really being attentive to family issues and children, and parents with children and that kind of thing. And then we've been working very much on the lifetime discipleship plan with small groups and different prayer groups and Bible studies and our different study groups, different kinds of formation. So the big question is why? Why do we do this? Why did the bishop have another assembly? Right? Why, if the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Catholic life, if the Eucharist is the source and summit of everything that we believe, why do we put all this emphasis on evangelization? Why do we do it?
People will know.
But so people will know. Because if we don't bring people in, right, there ain't going to be anyone going to the Eucharist. We've got to bring them in. Amen. And another reason, there's some hard data as to why we're doing this. Because a few years before the bishop wrote that letter, they spent a 15-year time span looking at mass attendance and those that have received sacraments in the Diocese of Lansing for 15 years prior to that, and there was a precipitous drop, right? If you, do you remember some of those reports when they first came out? What's really good is in our diocese, that drop has leveled, which is fantastic. And in our particular parish, it's been reversing, which is really exciting. And it's not only our parish, there are several parishes that are reversing that trend, which is really great. Here's one of the reasons why I think it's so important. The number one group of people that associate themselves with different religious groups, so like when people are asked, what is your religion? The number one group in the country and in Jackson County are those that have no affiliation with any religion. The nuns. Not like sister nuns, right? But the nuns, like no one, like, right? They are not, they're nothing when it comes to a religious specific. The nuns.
N-O-N-E-S.
N-O-N-E-S. The largest group are the nuns. And here's the thing that really upsets me. The largest group of nuns were people that were baptized Catholics and have left the church. So why are we doing this? Yeah, bring them home. Amen. Bring them home. And here's the number one reason why those people leave. Why are we doing this? The number one reason they leave, and there might be lots of reasons that push them over the edge, like the last straw. The number one reason they say themselves, the number one reason is they simply don't believe what we teach. Now that hits me for what I do right here, right? Why are we doing this? Because that means thousands of people have walked away from our church because they never had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Thousands of people have walked away from our church because no one really taught them in a way that they could grab a hold of that they could make it real for themselves. Thousands of people have walked away because they did not feel at home and welcomed in our church. But we're going to change that, aren't we? We're going to turn that around. And there's a lot of work that's going into that, right? When we do this, I know that a lot of you have been on this road for a very long time. A lot of you have been intentional disciples. For decades, some of you, I know you have, because you've shared some of your stories. But we don't just want a few of us. We want this number to greatly increase. Amen? We don't just want a handful of intentional disciples. We want this to be the wave. We want this to be a critical mass that turns the tide over where it just exudes out of the parish. But here's the problem that usually happens. People get on this fiery road for evangelization and all this programming. They do lots of programs. They do lots of stuff. And everyone gets burned out, everyone gets very tired, and there's no fruitfulness in it. Nothing changes. Well, Father Raniero Cantamalisa, one of my favorite priests, at least one of my favorite priests that's alive in the world today, because we talked about Pope John Paul over there. Father Raniero is the papal preacher that preaches to the popes, okay? So he like would be the guy that would give John Paul II his retreat. Like, do you get how holy this guy is? He's the one that would give the retreats and the preaching to the popes, the preacher of the papal household. I can't remember what country. Is he Italian? I think he's Italian.
Does he ever come here?
Yes. Oh, yeah. He comes to America often. And he's on one of the Alpha videos, like number 4 or 5, I think. I can't remember which one. But he's on a couple of the Alpha videos even. But what I love, something that he said that just nails this, is he said too often in the history of the church, we get fired up about something, and we get all worked up to do it. There's this zeal and this energy, and we go out, and we put everything into it, and it fails. Because it's all human effort. We're all just using our own strength. We can't do this out of our own strength. And the story he uses, he says, what if a group of firemen were going out to put out a fire? And everything is ready. They're geared up. They've got all the equipment. They're well trained. And they go and they're spraying out the fire, and their tanks are empty. There's no water in the tank. It's going to be a useless attempt, right? And he says that's what happens when we go into the battle without prayer. If we don't fill our tanks up with God's power, with God's strength, with the holy water of the living Christ, amen? If we don't go into the battle with that, it's going to be just human effort. We're going to get burned out, and nothing's going to change. So where this pivots is on prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Individual prayer and corporate prayer. All of us together. And us becoming saints more and more and more. So here's my challenge to you. And notice that my name is signed on this check because I'm preaching to myself here, right? Let's give God a blank check. Can you give him a blank check? It's written out to God. He can cash this in anytime he chooses. Be careful when you ask for this, right? And the reason for it, what's it for? Whatever he calls me to. Sign my name to that and leave it up to him to put the amount in. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give him a blank check of your time, your gifts, your resources? I mean, maybe it could be financial, but don't think of this in terms of financial. That's not the big part. The big part is, what are you being called to do, and are you willing to do it? Because if everyone in this room does that, can you imagine what will happen to this community? Right? And I know a lot of you are there. A lot of you are there. But what if we were all 100% there? The world was totally changed by one Mother Teresa, by 12 goofy Jewish boys, 2,000 years ago. Sorry. 12 Jewish boys, 2,000 years ago. Right? What would happen if we gave God everything? Everything. I think something awesome is about to come. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a time such as this for it seems like forever. And I really feel like we are on the cusp of something fantastic. And I'm not just saying that. I really, really believe it.
I think we're on the road.
You think we're already on the road? Amen.
Yes. You don't know how many years I prayed for educational opportunities.
Awesome.
Where I could learn and more about my faith, learn how to express my faith. All I ever wanted was Sunday school for adults. And then
we got it, sister.
Yeah. And this parish has just
That's awesome.
Blossomed with so many opportunities. I just want to pray.
That's great. Well, cry in joy if we cry.
Yes.
Yeah? So say this with me. Something awesome this way comes. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Do you want me to play this video?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is, whoops. Yeah. There we go. This is really good.
Pope St. John Paul II, one of the most influential men in the church and in the modern world. He lived as an underground seminarian under communist Poland and outsmarted the Polish secret police many times. He spoke 11 languages. He was a poet and a playwright, and if you put together everything he wrote, it would equal the length of 20 Bibles. 1 year into his papacy, he spent 9 days in Poland. The effects of his visit sparked the end of communism, not only in Poland, but throughout Eastern Europe. This Polish man had the ability to live his faith with boldness and instill hope into a generation growing up in the turmoil of the 20th century. He inspired many to become saints. But who inspired him to pursue sainthood, to become the man that would change the course of history? It's not difficult to be a saint. In 1935, these were the words spoken from the pulpit to a Sunday congregation in Krakow, and they changed the life of a man least expected. A quiet tailor, uninvolved, and a loner, Jan Taranovsky grew up thinking that sanctity was only for priests and religious. In a time during Nazi occupation, when a third of the priests were deported from Poland, Jan, a layman, felt a call to make a difference. It wasn't easy for Jan. He had a high voice, a strange figure, and an intense demeanor. Despite this, 15 men committed to meeting weekly to pray the rosary. They were invited into a friendship, to pray, share their faith, and because of this, 11 became priests. Christ called Jan to invest in these men. One of them was Karawatiwa, the man who became Pope St. John Paul II. The world will never be the same because of Jan Taranovsky's yes. I came to college desiring to be a good person, and I had an opportunity my first week of school to hear Chris give a talk. And as he spoke, I got to hear him speak of Jesus in a unique way, in a dynamic way that wrestled with my heart. I felt like he was speaking directly to me. I told him, like, I want to get involved. I desire to know more. But then I ended up walking away from that talk and actually never speaking to Chris again for another 2 years. Before long, I found myself getting sucked into all the temptations that college has to offer and just being complacent in all areas of my life. But I thought this would lead me down a path that would give me the best college experience. And before long, faith was no longer a priority. Amidst all of this, the Lord put Chris back into my life my junior year. As I met him again, I could tell that he was still living out the virtues that he was claiming to live back when I heard him the first time my freshman year. Chris challenged me to grow in prayer, to sit with our Lord in silence, to experience the Mass, the sacraments in a new, unique way. Chris invested in me. He gave me an example of what it meant to be a man who can enjoy the things of this world, but first and foremost, be a man of Christ. Through our friendship, Chris introduced me to many other men who were living out their faith and living out that relationship with Jesus Christ and showed me what that looked like. The Lord could use so many different ways, but he decided to use Chris, this one faithful man, to be the bridge that brought me back to him. He invited me into a friendship. Chris inspired me to overcome my fears, to live a life of authentic joy. Jesus challenged Chris to go on mission, and my life will never look the same because he said yes.